I'm going to veer right now from what we typically do in Lessons from a Decade of Dating, and I'm going to discuss one specific story that occurred with me 8 years ago. This is, without fail, the most difficult situation I've ever been in my entire life, by far. I've experienced the loss of a mother as a child. I've experienced a broken engagement, and neither of those things come close to how difficult this was for me personally. Obviously, it doesn't mean that there are others who won't have, let's say, the loss of a parent versus anxiety, and it could be that was much more challenging for them. But this, by far, for me, was the most difficult thing I've ever been through in my life. And I'm going to share, I guess, the first chapter, the origin of this, and it's going to tie certainly to mental illness, and it's going to tie to dating and my experiences there. I'll just say I have permission from the girl to share this story. Even though I have permission, I'm going to change her name and I'm going to refer to her as Sarah. Sarah and I went out. Our first date was September 8th, 2012. Now, I'm not some person who keeps a diary, a journal of life at all or of dating. But because there were a number of Jewish occasions and holidays that occurred, I was able to look back at the calendar when I wanted to share the story the first time, which was not recorded, and I was able to go back and find the dates, because the first time we dated that day, September 8th, was the first night of Slichos. It was a Motzei Shabbos, and I literally remember having a discussion of where we were going to be going for Slichos. She wasn't necessarily so set on place, and I convinced her to go to Stolel Slichos, which was the first time it was in Keter Torah that year. And I went out with Sarah, as I said, I'm going to call her, and the date was great, and really liked her. And the way I operate in dating, I don't remember if I've said this before in a previous talk or lesson, but the way I operated in dating was that I have certain things, let's say very broad things I'm looking for, and let's say hashkafa, let's say personality and attraction. Those are basically like the three things. And if hashkafa seems like it's good and personality seems good and I'm attracted to the person, so all three checks are there. And I also then in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm willing to give this a month. Like, once, obviously, if something could happen that could really shake it and make me not want to give it time. But usually, if those three things are there, it's a very good sign, and I'm willing to, like, see where this goes. And so right away, the first date with Sarah was very good, and just sat somewhere and talked. I was pretty boring. I apologize for nothing, definitely not an exciting date, but had a good time. Then we went, I think she was from out of town. She definitely went home for Rosh Hashanah. And so we went out, I guess, a little bit before Rosh Hashanah for our second date, which also I enjoyed. Totally normal. Everything was good. Honestly, cannot remember where we went or what we did, but I remember enjoying it. And it was the second day of Rosh Hashanah. I was home in Teaneck, and all of a sudden in the afternoon I started like feeling weird. My stomach started hurting, and I remember right after Rosh Hashanah ended, I decided to take a nap. I just like felt off, and I set an alarm for, I think it was like 10 o'clock or something, so I wanted to get up and eat because the next day was Tzom Gedalia and I'd be fasting. I wanted to just get up, like have some food. And I got up at about 10 o'clock, and I still don't feel so great. But I remember I had like a little bit of an apple and maybe some water. And all of a sudden, my stomach was just like killing me. And for the next, I think, literally like two plus hours, I was in excruciating pain. And part of me wanted to like go to the hospital, and part of me want to just like try to relax and like get through it. I guess this is 8 years ago. So I was like 25 at the time. And as a 25-year-old man, I was living at my dad's house. I guess, I mean, for Yontif, I was at my dad's house. I was living in Washington Heights at the time. But I was at my dad's house for Rosh Hashanah and slept there that night. And I literally, like, woke up my dad at, like, 1 a.m. because I was just in so much pain. And, like, it was when I was a little bit better. And he said I should have woken him earlier, like, should have gone to the hospital or something. But I was, like, feeling a little bit better. I wanted to just, like, go to sleep and let him know what was going on. And the next day, I ended up fasting. Didn't feel so great, but I did end up fasting. And I had my third date with Sarah that night. And I remember even after the fast ended, I remember having, like, chicken soup and not even being able to finish the bowl. And, like, certainly strange, especially after a full fast. And, but, like, okay, went out with Sarah that night. I remember that night we went to mini golf. I probably won, but I'm not sure. I play golf, and I enjoy golf, and I'm pretty competitive in mini golf. Wasn't going to let her win. That was not going to happen. And went out, and day was totally fine. Then, I think it was Sunday, September 23rd, date number 4. And this is probably one of the worst days of my life because of this experience. And she was from out of town, as I mentioned earlier. And even though she had an apartment and was living in the Heights, oftentimes she would stay by her sister in Bergenfield. And I'd pick her up from her sister's house. So I'm driving and I get to her sister's house. And I can't remember, honestly, if I knocked at the door or if I texted her as outside. I think I texted that I was outside. I think for like date 4, that's probably what I would have done. And she opens the door, she starts coming, and all of a sudden, my stomach starts killing me. I just feel like intense pain. And not to get like graphic, but it's not like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. It's not like that. It's hard to explain just like the pain I was in where it was like, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm saying it's really, I can't even think of the word to describe it. I will say that it's also very mental. I mean, it's not where I just have physical pain, but it's in my mind. I'm thinking like, oh my God, I feel awful. I feel awful. That's all I was thinking about. And she gets in the car and she starts like, hey, how you doing? And I want to say, I feel like I'm going to die, but I have to play it cool. I'm like, good. Thank God. How are you? I'm not exaggerating. It was a short drive. We were going to Noah's Ark, which is on Cedar Lane in Teaneck. I was picking up for Bergenfield, so it was about a 5-minute drive. Those entire 5 minutes, I have zero idea what she said. No idea. I mean, you could have asked me a day later. I will tell you, I had no idea what she said, because all I was thinking about was I was davening in my head saying, Hashem, please let this go away. Please let me feel better. Please let this go away. Please let me feel better. And I probably like opened the window or turned off the air, whatever it was. And I was hoping I get out of the car and I feel better. We park in the parking lot behind the restaurant and still like don't feel great. Okay. I didn't want to, it was too uncomfortable to tell her the truth and how I was feeling. So we go in there and we get seated, and maybe I must have felt a little better than I did in the car, because in the car it felt like really unbearable. And we're sitting down and still really bad. And we're talking, the waiter came over or the food, and I really just didn't know what to do. Like, part of me was hoping this just goes away. That's for sure what I was thinking and hoping. Part of me was thinking, like, how long could this go on for? And I excused myself to like, it like got to the point where I was like, excuse me, like I just have to go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom and I literally tried to throw up. Nothing came out. And I felt so sick that I couldn't imagine going back to the table. I wasn't going to leave her there, but I could not imagine going back to the table. And I bumped into one of my friends who was there at the restaurant, and I like called him over. It's like, I know this is really strange, but I feel awful right now. And you see that girl over there? I'm on a date with her. Can you just ask her to like come back here, to like come outside? I just need some like fresh air. And like, I could not continue that date. And she comes outside and I told her, I said like, I'm really sorry, but I just really feel really sick right now. to the point where, like, I'm not even sure I could drive you home. She, of course, like, really felt terrible for me and said, no problem whatsoever. She ended up, her sister was engaged at the time, and they were on a date, her sister and the fiance. So she ended up calling them, and they ended up picking her up from the restaurant. I gave her my credit card to pay for the meal, and we both took our separate meals to go. Obviously, I was really embarrassed, like, calling a date, especially under those circumstances, but I really, like, I could not go on. It felt terrible. I asked her if I'm feeling a little better, if we could just speak on the phone, at least have, like, quasi-date. Nowadays, for those of you who are dating on Zoom, it's, like, almost, I guess, almost like a Zoom date, just without the picture. I waited a few more minutes back there. I felt a little bit relieved that she was gone, and there was pressure off me to feel better for her. And I was just like, okay, Hashem, let me feel better for myself. I, like, turned up the radio. I opened the windows. I was, like, driving back, like, trying to sing the songs that are on the radio, trying to just, like, get myself distracted so I could just make it home. That was, like, the next goal. I made it home. Father was like, wow, you're back pretty quickly. I was like, yeah, it was quite the night. And I still did not feel well. I went to bed. I was just, like, lying down there a little bit. Maybe after about an hour or so, got better. I texted her, asked if she wants to speak, and we spoke for a little bit. And that entire week, I felt sick. And I happen to be the type of person that doesn't get sick so often. And I've never in my life had to, like, go to the hospital or stay in the hospital. I've never, b'lian hara, broken a bone. Like, things overall for me in the health field have been very, very good. And this was pretty scary. So this is something I've never experienced before. It was very intense, and I didn't know what was going on. And I went to the doctor. I had blood work done. Even about a month or two later, even after what ended up being like a mental health diagnosis, I still wasn't 100% convinced. And I ended up having an upper endoscopy done. And the blood work came back negative. Everything was totally fine. I honestly thought I had cancer. That's really what I thought I had. I didn't necessarily think, like, oh, this symptom is a symptom of this type of cancer. It was just like, that's what I felt I probably had. It was just like a hunch. So Baruch Hashem, though, the blood work came back negative. And when it came back negative, so there's relief that, like, okay, thank God, something serious, but then it's, okay, so what is it? And when I went to the doctor, so when he checked me out, like, he's like, everything's fine. Like, nothing's wrong. So I started not feeling well. That was, Rosh Hashanah, September 18th. Between September 18th and October 1st, which was the first day of Sukkot, that was about, say, a week and a half, I lost 10 pounds. It was 2 weeks, sorry. 2 weeks, so I lost about 10 pounds and, like, really was unable to eat normally. Whenever I ate, it felt like forcing something in my body. Like, I just didn't want to and really couldn't almost. And it was just, like, really tough. I was in YU and I was still, like, going to school, I guess, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, YU did have school. And I remember going to school during that time. And it was really, really difficult. And I still didn't know what was going on. I remember, like, by Sukkot, like, contemplating and, like, really just feeling terrible, whether I should go to shul, not go to shul. I'm just this, like, weird feeling in my stomach and in my mind, in my chest, like, just, but that's what it was. Just, like, really just, like, physical pain, but no fever, and everything was healthy aside from that. Didn't know what it was. And the first day of, for, I think it was the first day of Chol Hamoed, so this is now Wednesday, October 3rd. This is, if you forgot the year, this is 2012, this whole thing. And I decided to treat myself, and I went to go play golf at a very fancy course. It's called Bethpage Black. It's in Bethpage, New York, which is about, like, an hour and 20-minute drive or so with traffic from Teaneck. And the course costs about $150. They host the U.S. Open. They've hosted the U.S. Open twice, and it's a really, really nice golf course. And so I said, let me trim myself. Let me go play. Let me hopefully get some fresh air, relax. And it was literally the first time in 2 weeks where I didn't feel that pain. And I was on the golf course. Not going to lie, I was not playing well. It's a really hard course, and even on top of that, I wasn't playing so well. But I was enjoying myself, and the pain went away, totally away. I remember just being there and feeling amazing. And on the way home, I stopped off at, I ordered Chickies. I was like, what am I going to eat when I actually have a desire to eat food? Let's get some Chickies, right? Got some Chickies, and I had a date with her, with Sarah that night. And I'm like, fine, okay, Baruch Hashem, this is all over. And I go and I pick up Sarah from her sister in Bergenfield, and all of a sudden, boom, I feel terrible again. Around this date, we were going bowling, and like, I think it was like literally like halfway through the first game, I like told her, I was like, I'm really sorry, but like, I just feel terrible again. I just don't know what it is, what's going on. I don't remember if we finished the game or not, but I do remember going outside and just like walking around. This is in Hackensack, the bowling alley, Bowler City. I'm just like walking around a little bit, like walking around the block. Like, I was like, I really don't want your sister and brother-in-law to have to pick you up again. Like, I really want to like stay and continue this date. Let's try to hang out and talk. And we were able to do that. I was able to drive her home. But at this point, now this was strange. Because up until this date, I really just thought I had something totally physical. Like I said, I really thought I had cancer. I thought I had something totally physical, and it was something totally unrelated to her. And then all of a sudden, I feel finally amazing one day. Then I go out and see her again, and boom, it starts up all over again. And the next day, I called I was at the deck in my dad's house. I was outside and I called my Rebbe, and I remember literally like feeling these same symptoms while just calling my Rebbe, like something's really strange. And I called my Rebbe, Rav Eli Marcus, who I'm very close with, and I just wanted to like ask him what he thought. He happens to be like obviously like very bright in Torah, not that this is necessarily a Torah question, but he also knows a lot of psychology. And it's like a person who I trust, not necessarily where I go to a rev for anything that's medical per se. I certainly go to a doctor when I need to go to a doctor. But I'm very close with him, and I figured I would give him a call. So I called him, and I spoke to him, told him the story, told him exactly what happened. And he says to me as follows. I remember he said, with all that you've been through, when he knew me when I was in Reshit, my year in Israel, he said, you had your mother's passing. He said, I never once thought you needed to see a psychologist. But for this, I really do think it's worth going to a professional, speaking to a professional. And he gave me the name of someone. I didn't ask him permission, the psychologist. So I'm not going to say his name. He's a psychologist in Teaneck. And he's a very, very big tzaddik. And you'll hear more about him shortly. But I called him. He didn't pick up, so I left a message. That Simchas Torah, so we're still on Chol HaMoed, that Simchas Torah, I was supposed to go on Torah tours with one of my good friends, Dov Pienko, and we were going to be paired up with two random Stern girls, and we were supposed to go to Birmingham, Alabama. And after I got off the phone with my Rebbe, I called Dov, and I told him the situation, and he's like, you need to come with me. Come on. Like, you got to come with me. Don't leave me alone. And I decided to go, and I was happy I went for the most part. I definitely felt a little bit better, but there were also points where I felt like I was going to die and felt terrible. But overall, it was pretty good. And about a week or so later after Sukkot, it was October 19th, and this is the first time I saw my psychologist, first time I ever saw a psychologist. And I told him the story, and he told me that I had anxiety. He says, this is anxiety. That's the what you feel, meaning what you feel in your stomach, it's real. It's not words, it's imaginary, but anxiety causes physical symptoms. That's what it is. And I remember when I went into my psychologist's office, I remember thinking how, like, if you watch movies, oftentimes in movies, like Good Will Hunting, for example, a lot of times they hold something back, the person who's seeing the psychologist. They won't give, like, the real important information that's what's needed to, like, solve everything and, like, figure out what's going on. So I remember I sat down with him and I said, it's like, I'm going to tell you everything. Like, let's just figure this out. And I told him everything, and I was really hoping it would be like a one-time thing, a quick fix. And his first theory was the following. His first theory was that when I went out to Noah's Ark with Sarah, I actually was physically sick. And because, let's say, I had food poisoning, whatever it was, when I saw her, and because it happened with her on the date, so I associated her with that sickness. And then subsequently, whenever I saw her, it brought me back to the physical feelings, the physical symptoms of that sickness, of that food poisoning, let's just say. So that's what he thought. It had nothing to do with her whatsoever. It was just like, I was physically sick, and here's an association, and I have to now break the association. What he said to do is as follows. His etzah was, you should date, and you should date a lot. Let's say, like, instead of doing twice a week, date 3 or 4 times in a week. And as you date, you'll see it will get better. Because the more you see her, the more you endure it, the more the association is actually going to break. So I remember what happened was as follows. I still, by the way, I told you that when I played golf at Bethpage, I told you that this whole anxiety basically went away. Now we call it anxiety. It went away. But at this time, meaning every single day, pretty much I had it. I had to be, like, extremely focused on something for me to not have the pain in my stomach at a low level. So I continuously had it. I continuously was not eating well, wasn't able to really eat so much. And it was very, very, very tough. And whenever I saw Sarah, it got even worse. So I decided to also be open with Sarah. I told Sarah right away, I went to see a psychologist. I told her, this is anxiety. I told her the theory. And because things have been so bad with me picking up Sarah, this is now going to be really embarrassing. I told her that we should actually, maybe it's better for us to meet at the dating spot. And so we would drive and we'd meet at, like, the Riverside Square Mall together, or meet wherever it was going to be, and hopefully that would help me. What ended up happening was I would go to the dating spot. I would get there maybe like half hour early and just, like, mentally prepare myself. And I felt terrible, like, to the point where part of me wanted to, like, call the date almost every single time. Then I'd see her and I'd have to act like, yeah, things are great, but really things were terrible. I also, like, if you think about, let's say, when you have 102 fever, you can't really smile and put on a show and act like you're okay. You just feel extremely weak and sick. So here was kind of the same thing. Like, she was able to just tell very clearly that I was not doing well. And what happened was that the first hour or so, hour and a half, 2 hours maybe of the date, I felt terrible. We were able to talk and, like, carry on conversation, but I felt terrible. And then I got better. And it went away towards the end of the date. And I was able to, like, be a real person for the first time at the last, like, hour of the date. And whenever the date ended, I was living in the Heights. I would park my car and I would go to Golan and buy food. And if I wasn't in the Heights, if I was in Teaneck, whatever it was, I'd get home and I'd eat. Because it was like the first time I felt like a normal person and had an appetite for food. And the next morning, though, when I woke up, it was like a reset button. And boom, right away, I had anxiety in the morning. There was nothing I could do. And one of the things that I was doing was that I was continuously checking myself. When you have anxiety, you're saying like, please go away, please go away, I hope it goes away. Do I have anxiety? How am I feeling? Like, you're constantly just thinking about the anxiety, which inevitably keeps the anxiety there and has the anxiety progress. The way I describe it, there are times where I had just, let's say, a continual low or medium feeling of the anxiety. And what happened on dates was it would be like a spike from like, let's say a level, let's say zero is feeling amazing, no anxiety whatsoever. 100 is I'm literally throwing up. So when the date started, it would like, there might be, even if I'll be on a continuous like 60, level 60 or 70, whatever, there would be points where it just spiked to 95. And when it spiked to 95, that's exactly what happened when I was in the car on date 4 on the way to Noah's Ark. It was like a spike. And it was just like, oh my God, Hashem, please let me feel better. Please stop this. Please, Hashem. And it was just awful. And I was seeing that psychologist on a weekly basis. And aside from seeing him, though, there were plenty of times where I was having panic attacks and times where I was just really bad. And I had, Baruch Hashem, I had friends who were psychologists or in grad school to be psychologists. That was enough for me. And I needed to speak to them at times. And I was continuously scared. One of the main fear was that I would feel so sick that I'd throw up on the date. That was my fear. That I would just like throw up all over and like just feel so sick. Wouldn't be able to drive her home. Wouldn't be able to. That was what it was. Now, as I continued to meet the psychologist, though, it was like, okay, I still continuously had anxiety. The theory that it was real like food poisoning or something, and that just, I happened to see her while I was sick, that was out the window pretty fast. And threw out some other theories, maybe like I didn't deal with my broken engagement well. This is now a few years after that, and like maybe there's something subconscious in me that is scared of getting married. Maybe I'm scared of commitment. And almost every single theory that I or he thought of, there was something that disproved it. So even within the theory that maybe I was scared to commit, this started basically on date number 3 or date number 4. And I've dated many people post-broken engagement past date 4. And so that didn't really make sense. Part of it was like, I mean, I know there's a lot to the subconscious. So part of me was thinking maybe it has to do with my mother's death. It has to do with that. And I really was like, I just had no clue. And we pretty much, I don't want to say we had no clue, like, and it was kind of just dealing with managing the anxiety. And another thing I continuously thought about was how I imagined myself married and filled with anxiety, just like going to the breakfast table every morning, as if I'd have breakfast in my house and sit with my wife every morning, which doesn't really happen much usually, like in school or whatever it is. But that's just what I imagined, just like having continuous anxiety when I was married, when I'd be married. And I remember one of the things, as I was slowly getting better, as I said, I thought this was going to be like, you see a psychologist for a moment, for a minute, like one session, whatever, and boom, it would be fixed. And then I soon realized this is a much longer problem, is something that's going to be very gradual to get, for me to get better. And it was something that, even though it was very acute when I was dating, when I was going out with Sarah, it was something that permeated every single thing that I was doing. I told you that the only time I didn't feel it was when I played golf. The other time that I didn't feel it, the only other time, was I was doing my student teaching at MTA, and I was like giving a chabura to these ninth graders. When I was giving that chabura, that was the only other time the entire day that I would not feel the anxiety. And when that ended, I was thinking about the anxiety. Even when I was at morning seder, when I was in shir, when I was watching something, when I was reading something, it didn't matter. I always had anxiety. It might be a low level, might be a medium level or high level, but it was continuous. And I literally never, ever imagined myself getting better. I couldn't imagine getting better. And it's something, I'm not going to go into what happened for for like years. I'm gonna end with just this this person, this tkufa, which spanned from like September to December. But it was extremely tough. And when it came to my life religiously, so it certainly made me, I don't want to say question Hashem. Part of me wants to say question Hashem, part of me doesn't want to say it. But just to explain, I remember thinking, on the one hand, like, of course, like, I deserve to be punished, and of course I sin, and maybe this, like, obviously this is some sort of form of kapara. But at the same time, when I was physically sick, and there's no other explanation other than this is from Hashem, it's not like, let's say, I mean, I do not drink alcohol almost ever. And when I do not get drunk almost ever, ever. But for those people who do drink and have gotten drunk, so when someone has a hangover and someone feels sick, so you're not like, Hashem, why is this happening to me? It's like, oh, yeah, last night I chose to drink a lot. I got drunk, I was stupid, and I feel sick and I'm throwing up the next day. But here with this, with the anxiety, there was absolutely nothing to point a finger to. Not to say that, like, not like blaming Hashem for it, per se, but obviously I recognize in general everything's from Hashem, and certainly this, there wasn't anything else to point a finger to. And it was just hard for me where to feel like such a love towards Hashem, and feel as if even more so to feel that Hashem loves me when I was going through this. How could I say Hashem loves me as I'm enduring the worst pain of my life continuously, day after day, week after week, month after month? It was just unbearable. And to think and to know, meaning I know Hashem loves me, but it's very hard to, it was very hard to feel that and to feel close, to feel really close to Hashem. On the flip side, though, I could say I've never felt more dependent upon Hashem in my entire life. And I had some of the best Shemona Esrays of my life during that tkufa. Certainly before a date, I would daven like crazy, like, Hashem, let me feel good. Please let me feel fine. Like, the anxiety go away. And just, I felt so dependent upon Hashem that everything is in Hashem's hands. For better or for worse, whether this gets better, whether this gets worse, this is all in Hashem's hands. And I felt like I needed to turn to Hashem continuously all the time. And in that sense, I did feel very close to Hashem. And it was something that certainly that was very challenging. And so as the weeks progressed, I was still dating Sarah. I'm sure you might be thinking, like, what is on Sarah's mind? And I think for both of us, it was where we both liked each other. Like I said, things checked off in the boxes, what we were looking for, let's say. But so because of that, it wasn't worth breaking the relationship, because we were hoping that I would just get through this. And it was very slow. It was extremely slow, but like, we were starting to see signs, let's say, of me getting better. Some of the signs were, let's say, the anxiety that lasted on a date went from, let's say, 2 hours of a date to the first hour of a date, or the first hour to 45 minutes of a date. Or there were times, a big one was, imagine, in fact, I was able to actually eat on a date. That took some time. But I was able to actually go out to, like, an actual restaurant on a date, or take out whatever, eat with her somewhere. And that was a big thing. I remember it was on Thanksgiving. I saw my psychologist that morning, Thanksgiving morning, that year, in case you want, the day was November 22nd. And one of the things he suggested to me for, I guess, like, for some therapy to cure me, is to go back to Noah's Ark and to be there and to have a meal there. Not with her. That would be too much. But literally just to go by myself to the place that started it all, basically, where I felt awful and had one of the worst days of my life. And right after that session, I went to Noah's Ark. It was like noon on Thanksgiving. There was, I think, literally no one there. And I remember I chose Davka to sit in the exact same seat where I was on that date. And I can tell you, it was not so easy to eat, but I was able to eat a little bit. And I certainly had some anxiety. I continuously still had some anxiety. And slowly but surely, I was able to get better. And like I said, I was able to like drive on dates and go to places and eat with her. And it was still certainly bad, but it wasn't terrible. And I remember we went to Delhi Kasbah. That was basically our last like official date. It was Tuesday, December 18th. And at Delhi Kasbah, I remember like feeling as if I don't really know Sarah much. And the entire time I was just kind of dealing with myself and Sarah, I guess, meaning she was frustrated about like the slow progression. And we went out like another kind of like a date to like talk about whether we're going to break up or not, and ended that in a suffix, and then kind of just like ended it the next morning on the phone. And even though things ended with Sarah, my anxiety did not totally end, that's for sure. I'm not going to go into other things that future date and how it permeated other aspects of my life. But it was certainly very difficult. And one important lesson is that I remember thinking that up until that time, like the only thing that I had to tell people on a date, whether I chose to say before a date, some people with this information of a broken engagement won't want the person to know until they're actually dating. But that was like my thing. Like, yeah, I have a broken engagement. Okay. Like it was a little, obviously like, okay, had something. Let's say you could say some baggage. You could use the word some baggage, but it was like something of the past. But I remember when I had this anxiety, this is now like, this is my thing. And I've dated plenty of people who have had different levels of baggage, whether it was depression, anxiety, or other things. And this was mine. And now I own this. And it was not something I wanted to tell the person beforehand. Something that I hope wouldn't really happen. I would have hoped I wouldn't get it on date, but I knew inevitably, and what happened is I did get it on dates a lot. But most people have something, and it's important. It's important. I think we did discuss in a lesson about speaking to, for the level of severity of what the thing is, to speak to a rav about whether you're supposed to share with a person before you date, whether you should share it while you're dating, how far in do you have to share it. You definitely don't want it to be where you're engaged and now the person finds out that you're schizophrenic. To use an extreme example, that's certainly pretty deceiving. And it's important to be upfront. And this was my thing. And a person should know, obviously, that a lot of times on paper, people seem great. And you may look at yourself and feel inadequate of how you are and some of the baggage that you carry along. And it's important to realize, and I remember discussing this with my psychologist, that everyone has something. Sometimes you'll go out and you'll only date two dates or three dates with that person, and you won't find out what that was. But for most people, and for almost anyone you've dated for a long period of time, you realize, yeah, it's true. Every single person has, or almost every single person has something. And it's a question of what that thing is. And it's important to be able to speak it out. And based on the level of severity of what it is, of course, it's always important to show support for that person, to show that you care. Even if it's something that you feel you have to end the relationship over because of them, because of what it is. So obviously to be empathetic and care about the person, where they come first and their feelings come first no matter what. But a lot of things are not necessarily where, oh, I need to end the relationship right now because of what you just told me. And it's important to speak it out of that person, hear it out. And even for me, like Baruch Hashem, I have kemat no anxiety now. Very, very little, at rare occasions. And it was years of having it and struggling with it at different stages. The worst was the story I just told you. But overall, for myself, things got better. But there are things that are, of course, chronic for people, things that go on. And I don't know if this helped you at all with dating or mental illness, but I hope you found it interesting. I hope it did help in some way or another. As always, you could always feel free to text or call if you ever want any advice, whether it's if you want dating advice, or obviously if you want any other advice, happy to. Phone number is 201-543-9308. And hope you found this interesting, enjoyable, and beneficial.